What am I willing to do to go get it? I push things aside just to go get it. I know my role and I play my position. You talking too much. Please learn how to listen. I never give up. I'm not quitting.
Welcome back to the YI Network, where we interview every job occupation A through Z, from the trash man to the CEO, and ask them why they started their profession so that you could find your dream job too. I'm your host, Kojo Thompson, and today we have a very special guest with us. It is Deborah Brasso. Now, Deborah has been an independent publicist for more than 30 years, and she's got a lot to share with us here today. So, Deborah, shall I proceed?
Yes, indeed.
There you go. Now, Deborah, how are you feeling today?
I'm hanging in there. Yes, how are you doing today?
As we all are. Yes, ma'am. So, we've got you down as an independent publicist, but can you really explain, you know, what you've been doing for these past 30 years and, you know, really get into detail of, you know, what you do?
Sure. The title of publicist has changed quite a bit since I started. The core of the work is that we get our clients' visibilities primarily in the media. So if I have a client that's releasing an album or a book or is going on tour or, created something, my job is to get radio interviews, TV placements, news stories in print publications, as well as, you know, interviews like this on podcasts or other broadcast opportunities. So we get visibility for our clients. And it's a little bit different from something like advertising. These are not placements that our clients pay for. These are earned opportunities based on the strength of whatever it is that they're doing or releasing or have created. That's the core of the work. Over the years, because the media industry has changed so much, so has our job. Technology has certainly changed things. When I started, I can remember sitting on the floor for hours stuffing press kits. We would buy folders at the office supply store, and we would actually print out hundreds of pieces of paper with press releases and biographies and case studies and product information sheets, and we would stuff them into folders and then address folders and then bring them down to the post office in bulk to mail them out to newspapers or radio stations or TV stations. Obviously,
times have changed.
Yep. So we don't, you know, and thankfully, because it's also, you know, more environmentally conscious to not be sending out hundreds of stuffed folders, we do a lot of things digitally, and we have more opportunities online. Obviously, a lot of media has developed online personas, and it kind of doubles the opportunity we have to get coverage in certain outlets. There's things like Facebook Live now, which is a valuable opportunity for clients to be seen in a very different way to a very different audience. So we have to be flexible and really get involved with our clients and find them opportunities wherever we can now.
Okay. All right. And I like that description right there. So, Deborah, like, just go ahead and answer that first question for us then. So why did you become a publicist?
I'm going to be honest with you. It was not my first choice. I thought that I was going to be a journalist. So that's what I studied in school. I had been a writer since I was a kid. I was under the false perception that after I got out of school, it would be really easy to get a J job. And it certainly was not. I also, I'm not sure that now that I'm looking back on it, I probably wouldn't have been as happy being a journalist as I thought I would be. I think I romanticized that job just a little bit. But there is a distinct connection between journalism and public relations. Obviously, we work together. There's a synergy. So I kind of just like jumped over the fence into PR. And that was a much more natural fit for me because of what I now know in hindsight is my personality and the way that I like to be of service.
Very nice. Very nice. And I think you answered that second question too for us. So I'm going to go ahead and jump into the third. Sure. What do you think were some childhood hobbies and habits that, you know, matriculated into who you became today?
Well, that, you know, I was just about to start in on that. And then I thought, oh, you might ask this question. Since I was a kid, in fact, when I was in eighth grade, before we graduated, we did like class prophecies. And everybody in the class decided what everyone else in the class would be when we grew up. And my class decided that I was going to be a cruise director because I really enjoyed bringing people together. I liked, creating ways for people to learn about each other and to tell stories, to be social. I am incredibly organized. I am a type A Virgo. So I think, you know, kind of those things were always sort of there. And when I was in high school then, I lived in a suburb of Chicago. And one of the towns next to me had a lot of let's just say very loosely run music establishments. And by loosely run, I mean, when you were like 15, you could actually go into that bar and listen to live music. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we would literally like ride our bikes over to this bar that had live music. And, you know, we probably like got fake IDs from somewhere. But it was, you know, it's absurd. Anyway, so I started working with, local bands, basically. And, you know, back then it was a lot of like postering and making sure that, you know, your band got on calendars and different newspapers. So I was already sort of doing that kind of thing because it felt natural to do it, but I didn't know it had a title. I had no idea what it meant to like be a promoter or to be a publicist. I didn't really understand that that could be a job until I got into the journalism program in college and all of the different offshoots of media and communications became clearer to me. And when I learned more about PR, I was like, oh, hey, I was doing that when I was 15. Okay. You know, I'll keep this in the back of my mind if that journalism thing doesn't work out.
Very nice. Very nice. Yes. And I feel like it always works out like that. Sooner or later, you'll figure out that those memories from your childhood are directly line up with who you're going to be down the road. Yeah. So I love it. I love it. So what is the average day like for a publicist?
There's not, I mean, especially right now, there is no average day for us. I will say for me in particular, and this might be true of most other publicists, it starts with a lot of coffee. And our work is really based around clocks and calendars, which is good if you're super organized and really you know, detail oriented and focused on individual tasks. We have to meet media deadlines, and that can be very fast. And you have to adapt, particularly if you're working across time zones. So a lot of media is based on the East Coast. I'm West Coast, so I'm having to get up a little earlier than most in order to communicate effectively with people on the East Coast. So I might start working around 7 or 7:30. And what we do has two different functions. One is we push our stories out there. We push information about our clients to the media. So I'll just use the album release, for example. So I've got a client who's going to release an album. So I write a press release about that album, and then I have to research which music outlets are going to be best to receive that information. So it might be a mix of music magazines, maybe some blogs, some music websites, you know, maybe an instrument magazine, radio shows, and then maybe some television that might actually cover artists. And I get all that contact information and I send that press release out and I do a little bit of follow-up over the next couple of weeks. And if anyone wants to interview my client, if they want to review the album, if they just want to, you know, post the information, then I facilitate all that for them. So that's me pushing information out into the world. The other arm is requests coming into me. So you might get an email from a reporter who says, I've been asked to do a story about millennial artists of color who are putting out socially conscious albums in the next 2 months. Kind of specific, but that happens frequently. It might even be a request that's a little more general. But if my client is appropriate for that request, then I will respond and start working with that reporter based on their request. And then there's a million other things that can go on in the meantime. We get involved with our clients' advertising plans, their promotion plans, where they might be, you know, physically doing a tour or a book reading or a lecture or whatever it might be. So there's a lot of moving parts during the day, but generally that's the back and forth of communication for most of the day. And then because I'm on the West Coast, I have to be as available as possible for West Coast and media based in Asia. So I usually kind of close it down here around 7 West Coast time. So it's about a, you know, maybe a 12-hour day.
Oh, dang. Okay. That's, yeah, that's a lot.
Yep.
That's a lot. Okay. So what do you enjoy the most about what you do?
That's so hard because there's so much about this I love. None of my days are the same, which, you know, for someone who loves organization and detail, it might be counterintuitive to love really fluid days, but I actually do, because from that, I really do get to meet the most extraordinary people, whether it is potential clients or people that work with my clients, like maybe at an ad agency or a marketing company or something like that. The media people that I work with all over the world are incredible. And the people in my industry are, they're such fine people. They're smart and they're clever and they're creative and they're diligent. And they really have the love of their clients and of the sharing of story in their heart. And at the end of the day, that's what we're doing. We're trying to find ways to tell our clients' stories. And I love people that want to share that information. And I have most definitely been able to do really amazing things with people that I've grown to care about greatly. So it's expanded my mind. It's given me a lot of education about a lot of things. I've seen parts of people and places that I wouldn't have been able to. So it feeds my soul that way.
Very nice. Very nice. I love it too. You know, especially that getting the people's story thing. That's one of my favorite things too. So of course, the back end of that question is, what do you enjoy the least?
There's two things. And it's, you know, I'll be honest, like I feel so lucky that where we are now, socially, and also, you know, in this pandemic crisis, I am eternally grateful that I'm still able to work. I mean, I have lost some work, but there's work that I've retained, and I'm really grateful for that. PR is pretty consistently on the top 10 lists of most stressful jobs. I mean, you can Google some of those, and you will see that PR winds up solidly on many of them. And it doesn't sound like it should be that way when you're thinking about what people are going through today, especially, and you know, the critical work that so many people do on behalf of other people. But it is a really stressful job, because we manage so many different people in the course of what we do every day. We are hired by clients, so we're beholden to them to try to meet their goals. But we're also the middle person between our client and media. And sometimes those goals are conflicting, and we have to figure out a way to make things work for both of them, which is extremely hard. You have to have diplomatic skills, empathy, sensitivity to what both parties need, and then also be able to communicate that to each person. And that can be really difficult. And some people are certainly more difficult to deal with than others. And the other thing that's a little bit tricky is, because we are so beholden to the clock and the calendar, if you're working with someone who doesn't get that, who might be under time stressors of their own, it can be really nerve-wracking to have a deadline of, say, 5 o'clock Eastern, and you're waiting for your client to deliver that interview at 5 o'clock Eastern, and it's 4:58, and you don't have it, and before you send it to the writer, you still have to edit it. You know, like, it can be a little bit crazy making in that way. But again, in the grand scheme of things, you know, these are completely manageable least favorite things.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, so this right here is my favorite question, and I'm really interested in hearing what your response will be, because I'm just interested. So, do you think that grades mattered in school for the success that you had in your career today?
Whew. It is a really, really good question. And I'm going to answer it honestly from my perspective. I don't think in the trajectory of my career, anyone even knew that I went to school. And it may be different now. I am fortunate that I'm pretty embedded in this industry. So I can't really say how it might be for people that are trying to break into it now. But I will say that the important thing in this business is the ability to communicate clearly, concisely, correctly, and with impact. There are a lot of people that can do that beautifully who don't have degrees. So I'm not convinced personally, and I would never not work with someone, if they didn't have stellar grades in school. If they could demonstrate those things that are necessary to do the job. To me, that's really the most important thing. Some of that you at least have to get through high school to learn how to do that. And then some of it, I think, is truly just kind of an inherent talent or an ability that people have. And when they apply it to communication, it makes them perfectly eligible to be successful in this career.
Very nice. I love that answer right there. And so I'm about to break down this next answer for you. So what do you feel that your impact is? And when I say impact, I mean, like, what are you devoted to? What's your devotion?
I have never worked at an agency, at a big firm. I've always worked independently because that allows me the ability to help people with the work that I do that might not be able to get it if they went to an agency where they're being charged, you know, $5,000-$10,000 a month. I think that there are a lot of artists and entrepreneurs and business people and social impact people who deserve to have their story told. And that's what I want to do, is I want to be able to help people that might not be able to get this kind of work done in a larger, more traditional sense, and they can come to me as an independent, and we can figure out ways to work together in a way that's, you know, fiscally responsible for both of us.
Very nice. Very nice. And you have been answering these questions so beautifully. But sadly, we are winding down to that last question. And that is, if you could give one piece of advice, just one piece of advice to somebody out there listening right now who wants to be in the position that you're in today, what would it be?
I do find that a lot of people who've come to me looking for work or internships, they don't really have an understanding of what the job is, for a couple of reasons. One is that, like I said before, it has changed considerably over the past 10 years, definitely the past five, and it is a whole different ball game in the past 2 weeks. So,
wow.
It's a very fluid, very responsive kind of job. So it is difficult to have a great grasp on what that means in any given moment. Also, I think, you know, when you see things on TV shows or in movies that represent jobs, it's always the much, like, bigger, more dramatic, and then also really diluted version of what that work is. So when you see publicists represented in movies or TV or whatever, it's not always like that at all. It's often glamorized. And then often it just makes us look like we're complete lunatics, like, who drink a lot and are very intense. I will say the intensity might be a little bit true, but we all don't need that, you know, lunchtime martini to get through the day. So I think getting an internship, asking to just, you know, spend a day or two with a publicist to really experience what it's like. Any of us would love to share our day with someone else to give them an idea of what it's like. And then just a separate piece of advice. I'm just going to do a twofer. This job, like I said, is about communication, and it is about being able to authentically, but with clarity, tell stories. I would say any opportunity you get the chance to write, whether it's business writing or creative writing or whatever it is, use words, use your words, exercise language as much as possible, because learning how to say things in carefully chosen ways, being attentive to your audience is really important.
Very nice. Very nice. I could not have said it better myself. And Deborah, is there any type of way that my audience can reach yours, whether it's, you know, website, social media, even a book, like just something that I can leave in a link in the description below so that my fans can check you out?
Absolutely. My website is just my name. It's DeborahBrasseau.com, DeborahBrasseau.com. And you can email me at db@DeborahBrasseau.com. I love to talk about my work. I'm proud of my work. I'm proud of my industry. And we always need great communicators to come into the fold. So if anybody has questions or comments or concerns, please do be in touch. I would love to be of service to any of your listeners.
Very, very nice. And folks, honestly, Deborah, I could not have asked for a better interview. That was excellent.
Aww.
And folks, yeah, everything is in the link in the description below, guys. Please go and check Deborah out. She gave such a wonderful advice. And folks, as you know, there are three types of work: a job, a career, and a calling. Most people have a job. You're lucky if you find a career, but you're truly, truly blessed if you find your calling. And I really hope that me and Deborah helped you find it here today. That is a wrap.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure to leave a review so that someone else can discover it too. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn at YI Network for episode updates, weekly takeaways, quotes of the week, and much, much more. And if you or somebody else you know is passionate about their job and would like to share their story, email us at whyimpassionate@gmail.com. Again, whyimpassionate@gmail.com. Talk to you soon, folks.
And I play my position. You talking too much. Please learn how to listen. I never give up. I'm not quitting. I'm persistent.